What's cracking?
Big dogs.
Welcome back to the channel. Welcome back to the headquarters. My name is Nicholas. And welcome back to Q and Assault Saturday, where y'all, my fellow Patreons, the biggest supporters of the BDGE brand on planet Earth, in space, in the galaxy, come and assault me with any questions you might have. Dynasty, redraft, whatever. Whatever the fuck ever, as Denzel would say. Now, we're going to start off a little bit differently this year. Why did I say this year? I have no fucking idea. I meant this week. Because during the season, usually when Q&A kicks off, I go through the wide receiver cornerback matchups just to get this thing bumping a little bit, right? I get into my zone. I start talking about the most prolific, the most talked about single coverage matchups we're going to see that week, right? Normally shadow coverage matchups. So figure, you know, maybe we'll do something valuable at the beginning of these Q and assaults because, you know, only a handful of people. It's very intimate, right? I get to know you guys very well one-on-one. There's only like 5 to 10 people that come in and hang out with me for these. Thus, the questions are of the lower volume. So I figured, let me fucking hit them with a couple of pieces of information that I think could be valuable to y'all. And what I'm going to do, using 4for4's free ADP mover tool, I will link that in the description eventually. I probably am lying. I probably won't end up doing that because every time I say I'm going to link something in the description, I don't end up doing it. But I'm going to try my best. And it's basically a tool that they have on their website for free. This is 4, the number 4, then the word, F-O-R, then the number 4 again, 4for4. Awful fucking, awful, 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 awful name for SEO. But they got some great tools, okay? Their tools, hopefully, cancel out the terrible SEO they have from their name. And they have a free tool in which you could check out the ADP from Underdog Fantasy and the biggest risers and movers, risers, fallers, whatever, over the last 2 weeks. You can put up to a custom date. You could say the last 7 days, last 14 days, last 34 days, whatever, whatever, whatever. And we're going to be using that tool to look at the top 5 movers up draft boards, the top 5 movers down draft boards over the last 2 weeks. We'll probably do this weekly now that we're going to start doing this weekly, but we haven't done it yet. So we're going to cover the last 2 weeks. What's up, everybody? Tony, never maybe. Janstein was good. Codeine, Dylan, James, how are we? All right, let's kick it off with the biggest fallers. We're going to give a quick explanation who they are, their names, a fun fact about themselves, what grade they're in, all that shit. All right, so the biggest fallers over the last 2 weeks, the change in ADP over the last 14 days. Number one on this list, no surprise, is Tariq Cohen because we had the reports. You know, I made a YouTube short about this subject a few days ago, basically just saying Tariq Cohen is still dealing with stiffness in the knee. He had an ACL tear last year. By this time, I think he's like 10 months removed from it, so he should not really be dealing with the shitty rehab system. He should not be feeling shitty about his knee. It should be feeling pretty fucking good. He should be out there doing some light cuts, whatever, but he's still feeling stiffness. Thus, this dropped Tariq Cohen 32 spots, which is almost 3 rounds, which basically makes him undraftable, which is why we love David Montgomery now. Okay, 4th-round pick. Go and get that volume. Go and get them fantasy points. Go and get you some hardware. Next up, this was kind of surprising. Also surprising, like the top 12 guys, the biggest movers, were all running backs. The 12 top guys were all running backs. I think that's because that's the only thing anybody ever fucking cares about. Leonard Fournette dropped 18 spots in ADP. He is down to 117, and I don't quite understand that. We haven't really had news about Gio. We haven't had news about Keyshawn Vaughn or Ronald. We haven't really had news about anything. I think maybe that's what it is. I think people are just kind of getting bored of the backfield. I'll scoop that ADP all day. If I'm missing something about news that I haven't seen, please correct my dumb ass, because that is a very, very strong possibility. So Leonard Fournette is the second biggest dropper in Underdog ADP over the last 2 weeks. Then we have Rashad Penny. Again, I don't think anything serious happened there because we have him getting a knee procedure done, but that came out over a month ago. So I think it's just the fact that he's getting another knee procedure. Everybody's hyping up Chris Carson as a good value. Thus, he drops about a round and a half. David Johnson also dropping, I think, just on the fact that the more we get into the offseason, the less we hear about Deshaun Watson, like the higher his odds get of actually playing for Houston. Obviously, if Houston doesn't have Deshaun Watson playing, the less we like David Johnson, okay? So I think that's just a natural progression as you see the odds for Deshaun Watson dip into almost minus 1,000 not to start for the Texans. We're going to keep seeing David Johnson's ADP drop further and further and further, and I'll keep drafting him, to be honest with you. Lastly, we have Melvin Gordon because there was the fucking report that Javonte Williams is going to be the starter. He's the projected starter or whatever. They're like, he's running with the ones. Yeah, because Melvin Gordon didn't fucking show up to OTAs. Like, of course, who else is going to be running with the ones? Royce Freeman? First team Royce Freeman? Nah. You can miss me with that. So that's an obvious drop. Just, you know, one report makes these things move up really quickly. So those are the top five biggest droppers today. Tariq Cohen, obvious. Fournette, I'll buy the dip. We'll talk about who we're buying the dip on. Fournette, David Johnson. Melvin Gordon's not a guy I'm targeting, but, like, I'm fine if you're going to draft him in the 11th, 12th round. I still think that's, you know, even if Javonte Williams does play, a significant portion, this is going to be a 1A, 1B punch for at least, like, the first 2 months, in my opinion. So Melvin Gordon's fine where he's getting drafted. Let's move over to the biggest rises. Okay, so the first guy on this list, the biggest riser over the last 14 days, Jakobi Meyers of the New England Patriots, has moved up 18 spots, and this is going off the report that he could be the number one in New England. I say the money says differently when it comes to Nelson Agholor. I will take Agholor over Jakobi Meyers 9 out of fucking 7 days a week. There were reports that Jakobi Meyers was practicing with Cam Newton and Jonnu Smith. They were throwing together or whatever, so that's obvious as to why Meyers is moving up a little bit. This is a very, very open, ambiguous wide receiver group there in New England. They signed Nelson Agholor. They signed Kendrick Bourne. I think those are going to be the top two guys, but Jakobi Meyers did play pretty well last year. Limited sample size. You can look off, you know, very picky statistics, shit like yards per route run. Those kind of things Jakobi Meyers played well in. So I can understand why. He went from basically undrafted to like a 13th, 14th round pick. I don't hate it. I would still keep scooping up Agholor shares. Next up, Darrington Evans. I have no fucking idea why he's moving up. I've heard Darrington Evans' name on a bunch of podcasts recently, and I cannot agree to disagree with something more than whatever bullshit's being spewed about Darrington Evans. So fuck that. Rondell Moore, I think people are just getting more and more excited about this Arizona offense in particular. I'm not sure why people are. I think like Establish the Run has brought up a bunch of these guys, and I think they push the ADB pretty heavily. They've talked about Rondell Moore a lot. I told you, man, I'm about the A.J. Green 17th, 18th round best ball pick. So Rondell Moore's not a guy that I'm confident in will get the volume his rookie year. I'm not really sure why he's shooting up draft boards, but he's not a guy that I'm trying to grab in the 9th, 10th round, which is where his ADP, according to his ADP, is end of 10th round pick. So that's a little juicy for me. MVS, honestly, this might have something to do with me. I've picked MVS in a lot of my underdog drafts. He is... I keep thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back, and as soon as he does, Marquez Valdes-Scantling goes from a 16th, 17th round pick up to a 11th, 12th, 13th round pick. So I keep scooping him up, and it makes sense that he keeps rising up draft boards. And then Mecole Hardman goes up about 14.7 spots on the news that he should be the number two, which literally doesn't really fucking mean anything. Like, what does that mean in Kansas City? It doesn't mean you're guaranteed production, right? You'd like to think so, but that offense, yeah, Mahomes can throw for 4,800 yards, and it could still just be the Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce show there, as we saw last season. Like, Sammy Watkins was the wide receiver 2 last year, and he still put up like 400 yards, okay? So the wide receiver 2 does not have to mean anything in Kansas City. Mecole Hardman is just not, he's not an NFL wide receiver. Might he get lucky and bust off a few big plays this year? Like, sure, but he's not someone I'm excited to draft about. Now he's at pick 95, which makes him back end of the 8th round, and I'm fucking totally off that. Totally off that. So those are your biggest risers for this week. We're going to be doing this every single week. And if you want to join Q and Assault next week, sign up on Patreon. Patreon.com/BDGE. What's going on in the chat? How are we? Let's throw some of these up on the screen. Because of Cohen, what about Damien Williams now? I feel like I've talked about this a lot recently. People are very enamored with Damien Williams. He's not a guy I'm drafting. Here's the thing with like Damien Williams is I don't tend to draft handcuffs unless I know the guy's going to get all of the work. And two, we have to know that guy is the fucking handcuff to have, right? Whereas like if you draft Zeke, I'm fine drafting Tony Pollard. If you draft one of those guys that are really up top, and you know who the handcuff is, I'm fine drafting my own handcuff in season-long leagues. That is against popular opinion for whatever fucking reason. I like to have safety on my redraft teams. You get to choose one fucking team. Most people don't trade. Like, you're fucked if your number one guy goes down. I like drafting handcuffs in season-long leagues. The problem with Damien Williams is, like, yeah, he'll move up a little bit, but that's on projection. I don't have confidence that coming – I mean, he's old. He's coming off a year without playing because he opted out for COVID. Are we sure Khalil Herbert's not going to take the backup spot? I like Khalil Herbert a lot. I think he was a very good prospect coming out. So I think it'll be a battle for two. Like, what if Tariq Cohen is actually okay and he's playing 30% of the snaps? That makes whoever the backup to David Montgomery is pretty irrelevant. So I'm pretty much out on Damien Williams right now until we hear something like he is for sure the RB2 to own there in Chicago, which I just don't think is a given. Lenny versus Ronnie, Andrew asks, at similar ADP, who you taking? Definitely Lenny. I don't know. I just don't think RJ just has no fucking upside in the passing game. Whereas we saw how involved Leonard Fournette was when it mattered down the stretch last year. Super, super duper involved opportunity-wise in the playoffs the last six games of the season. Scored six touchdowns in the last 6 weeks. Was also catching a ton of passes. So I think they showed their cards who they like better at running back. I think he's the one who is more likely to be involved in the passing game. So give me Lenny there for sure. Rice Fraudman, love that. The news about the Eagles trading for Deshaun Watson starting to heat up this week, but nothing's going to happen until the allegations are put away. That was a very interesting report. We've also seen Deshaun Watson linked to about 10 teams, so it's tough to say. I think the report from Adam Schefter, I think it was like the Eagles are the most well-equipped team to make this happen. So what that says is they have a lot of assets that they could give up to secure Deshaun Watson. I don't really know their future picks, to be honest with you, but I'm assuming they have like multiple firsts or at least multiple seconds or something next year, which would equate to having a lot of firepower. They also get to, you know, obviously I'm assuming that trade will involve Jalen Hurts. So if you have a young quarterback, that's obviously going to push the needle for a team like the Texans, who, you know, you could trade it to like the Panthers, as they were saying earlier on, and like the Panthers are going to give up Christian McCaffrey. That really does nothing for the Houston Texans franchise. So I think when they mean they're most well-equipped, I think they mean that they have the most reasonable pieces to actually give that up in return for Deshaun Watson, right? Like, the Houston Texans aren't going to take something less than a young quarterback with upside, multiple future picks and shit like that. So obviously the upside from Jalen Hurts to Deshaun Watson is massive, and the Texans would do that in a second. But I think they're just talking more so about the actual stuff, the assets that they have to be able to give up to get them. What's going on in the chat? This is where we get assaulted. Let's go. Someone gave me Mooney and a second for Hardman. That's fucking absurd. I love that for you. I think Mooney and Hardman honestly can both kind of flame out, but like the second is enough for me. I would have given up Hardman for a second probably. What are your thoughts on Javonte and him at his current ADP? Let me grab his ADP real quick for me. I'm not sure where he's actually going right now. Javonte Williams, currently the running back 26, getting picked 66th overall in Underdog. So the other site that I'm going to link, so it's both 4 for 4 has multiple tools that are free on their website that are super useful. The first of which was the movers and ADP. The second of which is pulling in ADP from multiple websites. So it's cool because you can compare Javonte Williams' ADP on Underdog and FFPC, which are both paid leagues, compared to like ESPN and Yahoo and NFL. So the trend you're seeing here is Underdog, he's 66th overall. FFPC, which is another big money high stakes league, he's 55th overall. So that's like early fifth round. And then the other non-paid leagues, ESPN, he's 91. NFL, he's 89. Yahoo, he's 86. So you're seeing a 30 to 40 pick discrepancy between non-paid leagues and paid leagues, which should tell you sharper people are taking Javonte Williams early. I don't know if that's necessarily a sharper pick because we've seen these rookie running backs that are not first round clear work. The guys, I've made this point so many times. The guys that are picked in the first round, the running backs, the rookies that we should get excited about, are the ones that have no clear obstacle in their way for early workload. Okay? When you look at Najee Harris, there's nobody that's going to compete with him for touches. When you look at Javonte Williams, there's a fucking massive red flag with Melvin Gordon sitting there. You can make all the nuanced excuses and bring up statistics that you want about Melvin Gordon, but objectively, he's a massive, massive hurdle for Javonte Williams to get a workload that warrants a fifth round fucking ADP behind who knows at quarterback. If it's, what if Drew Lock just stinks? What if Teddy Bridgewater can't command an offense that scores more than 20 points a game? These are very massive red flags. So for Javonte Williams going 55th overall in FFPC, the high stakes money leagues, I hate that. When he starts to dip into like the sixth or seventh round, if you miss out on running backs a little earlier, I'm okay with it. But again, I just think we've learned this lesson year over year over year over year. Dobbins, Sanders, Swift, fucking Akers, all of these guys that go into muddy situations and are not clear first round picks in the NFL draft, always takes them 2 to 3 months to like get a real workload. So the earlier Javonte goes, like the less and less I like that pick. And I'm not really, I mean, like, I like Javonte as a prospect, but I'm not really sold on him being a great NFL back. So for me, there's too many red flags to warrant like a top fifth round pick, even an early sixth round pick. I don't like that for Javonte at all. What tight end do you think you'll have the most shares of? Well, luckily for us on Underdog, you can actually check your, exposure. You know what they say? Sun exposure during these hot months are not good. Exposure to fuck do I find it? Pick'em live best ball NFL. Nope, that ain't it. Active completed. There you go. So if you're on the Underdog app, which you should all fucking download immediately, Underdog, I will link that in the description as well. That is the best place to perform your fantasy drafts this summer. And these are all paid leagues, $3 minimum, so you can practice against people that are actually drafting. And if you use the promo code BDGE when you deposit 10 bucks on there, they're going to give you $25 free to play with. It's a beautiful, beautiful cocktail. Let me figure out my exposure here. Okay, they haven't updated these for some reason. They haven't updated the exposure, I feel like, in a long fucking time. And I don't know why. Because my top exposure guy is Zach Ertz. And it's only a $9 fee, but I've done so many drafts this summer, so $9 doesn't make sense. Let's see. Oh, that was preseason, I think. Give me a second. Sorry. Okay, here we go. So my highest exposure on players right now, I have 18% of Eric Ebron. 18% is my highest owned tight end right now because Ebron goes legitimately in the second to last round. Pittsburgh tight end, I think people are off him because Pat Freiermuth, but like he's a rookie. He's not going to do a fucking thing this year. And Ebron finished for like 6 or 7 touchdowns, and I think he has a good chance of doing that again. I don't expect him to be like a breakout fucking candidate this year, but for someone that I think you could reasonably project to finish as like a mid tight end too, I'm happy with taking Ebron down there. My next highest owned player. So I have four tight ends tied at 13%. Hockenson, Gesicki, Austin Hooper, and Robert Tonyan. Hockenson obviously makes sense. Anytime he drops into the seventh round, he's an auto smash for me. Gesicki, I guess I don't know. Maybe I have a lot of Tua and I've tried to stack him. He's not a guy I'm necessarily high on this year, but I just happen to have 13% exposure. Austin Hooper, I think he's being a little bit underrated. I think last year he was hurt for a few weeks, so he missed time. And then he came back and they had those 3 to 4 weeks in a row where the rain was just so bad that Baker's stats and Austin Hooper's stats were terrible. And when he came back fully healthy, I think he played fine. So I think he'll be like a high-end tight end too this year that you can continue to get in the 14th, 15th round of drafts. Robert Tonyan, again, guys, I'm drafting as if Aaron Rodgers is coming back this year. And if that's the case, Tonyan in the 12th, 13th round is a fucking smash play. There's not really any other surprise picks down here, to be honest with you. I'm starting to get a lot more exposure to Jonnu Smith. I am a big, big, I'm just getting, I don't know why this is like, I'm going to make a video. I think one of the video titles is going to be my strongest gut feelings for 2021. I might just like not bring any big facts to the table, but for some reason, this Jonu, I can't stop hearing chirping about Jonu Smith from my big fucking brain. You know, it's so big. I have so many things being fired at me at all times, but something consistently keeps saying, Jonu. Draft his ass. So I keep drafting Jonu Smith. I just think he's the most athletic player on the offense. At the end of the day, and we've seen what Bill has done with athletic tight ends before, I think we've kept trying to pigeonhole players into the Gronk and Aaron Hernandez casket. But Jonu's the first like actual athlete that comes close to what those guys can do on the field. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Jonu led the team in targets, man. I really wouldn't. So I cannot stop drafting Jonu Smith in my current leagues that are drafting at the moment. Shuler. That is a ridiculous first name. Shuler. How do you say it? Shuler. In a Superflex Dynasty rebuild, what should I be asking to move Kamara? You can probably sell Kamara for multiple first round picks and then like maybe one of these rookie running backs, you know? Like Javonte Williams might be a good target, but realistically, whoever probably drafted him loves him, so it's tough to get rookies off of teams. But like if you can get Javonte Williams plus, you know, two firsts or something, don't hate that. So I would look for find a contender, get at least multiple first round picks, and then see if you can get an RB2, a wide receiver 2, a high end quarterback 2, something like in that range.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Eagles have 2 first-round picks currently, potentially 3 depending on Wentz play. Yeah, exactly. So that makes a lot of sense. Like Eagles, 2 first-round picks and Jalen Hurts for Watson. Maybe that gets done. Gibson top 10 this season. I mean, it's definitely in his range of outcomes. He's one of the guys where I think the range of outcomes is very, very, very wide. Because, listen, there's a lot of excitement around Gibson. His athleticism is ridiculous. This offense should be a lot better. But then again, we're all projecting him to get a bigger passing role. But J.D. McKissick's still there. They added Deami Brown. They added Curtis Samuel. Like, what if the targets just aren't there? Yeah, the relative targets to J.D. McKissick might be down, but that might just mean the running back targets altogether are down. So I think we could walk away from this year disappointed. You know, he scored 11 rushing touchdowns last year. Highly unlikely to repeat that. But as the full-time goal line back, maybe he does. You know, I think there are a lot of red flags that most people are just kind of sidestepping as if it's not possible for that to happen. But Gibson, yeah, I mean, he's got top 5 overall upside for sure. Jacob, comfortable triple stacking redraft teams like situations like the Chargers, Chiefs, Cowboys. Yeah, sure, could run that. I always say like stacking, I'm fine with. I'm even fine getting running backs and wide receivers together, running backs, quarterbacks together, as long as they're on a good offense, man. I think there's a lot of people talking about how like you shouldn't stack running backs with other quarterbacks or wide receivers. At the end of the day, like if they're on a good offense, that it's good for everybody, right? If a wide receiver is having a good game, that likely means the offense is just moving the ball successfully, which means more snaps, more time on the field, more scoring opportunities, more red zone opportunities. Like that's the way I look at it. If you're on the Chargers, Chiefs, or Cowboys, it's just going to be a fuckload of plays, high paced offense, a lot of passing, a lot of yardage, a lot of first downs, a lot of scoring, all that shit. So, yeah, stack it up like a motherfucking Pringle. Hafster, what's good, baby? What's up, Nick? I'm leaning away from drafting Kittle this year, but I have him in Dynasty. Still think his future outlook is promising, but not as high on him this year. Interested to hear your thoughts. Yeah, I'm with you. He's not a guy I'm targeting in redraft, not even if he dips to, like, the end of the third round. I could be wrong because Kittle's just such a fucking monster that I might just look stupid afterwards. But, yeah, he's not a guy I'm targeting in that range. I would say his value right now in Dynasty is probably the lowest it has been and the lowest is going to be for a while. So he's an in-season move that I would like to... He's a guy I want to hold on to just in case. If I'm wrong, then he's a guy you want on your team, especially in tight end premium. If I'm right, then I probably wait for a couple big games still for him to string together, for him to move. Because I think you have this influx of, one, like Kelce is just a monster, obviously. Pitt's coming in, which is moving Kittle down the draft board. You have Darren Waller, who's coming off a monster year, moving Kittle. So, like, the hype for Kittle last year was he was, like, the tight end one in Dynasty. He's dropping significantly because we have hype around these other players. So, right now, you have to have something that pushes his hype up a little bit before you move that piece, in my opinion. I'd hold on to him for right now. Is the Cam Akers hype too much right now, or is it cooled down? Yeah, it seems to be a little bit – it seems to be pretty fucking high. For good reason, though. Listen, like, fantasy players are sharper and sharper and sharper. And guys with his type of upside, you know, Akers and Gibson, you just don't get them out of value anymore. It just doesn't happen because there's so much fucking content, so many people yelling about it now on a day-to-day basis that, like, yes, it doesn't make his upside any worse, right? Like, you could draft him fifth overall. Doesn't mean he doesn't have overall RB1 upside still. But the risk becomes more and more. The risk becomes higher and higher because you're letting go of safer players at that draft pick who might have just as high of an upside. So is the hype too much right now? No, because I think his upside will stay the same. Like, his upside in May is the same as it was in June, as the same as it will be in July, as the same as it will be in fucking August. His hype should be as high as it can possibly go because his upside is RB1 overall, in my opinion. The discrepancy comes when the graphs, when the X and Y axis intercross and they start to hit a point where the risk becomes just a little bit too frisky for me. So I don't think it's cooled down, but I just think fantasy players are sharper. And if you want to get your guy, you got to fucking get your guy. And it's more clear now than ever with guys like Akers and Gibson, etc. Somehow snagged Davante Adams in my family dynasty league for Terry McLaurin and John Brown. Oh, it's called the fucking family dynasty league for a reason. Give whoever gave that to you a good Christmas present this year. What are your expectations of Jordan Love if he's a starter? Very fucking low. Very, very, very low. You know, if there's like a log, you know, you're walking through the woods and there's a log on the floor that you got to jump over. That log is Jordan Love. Jordan Loggy Love. Like this fucking thing so you don't start yelling. Thank you. If anyone's out there watching this, you're enjoying the video. The best way to support us, obviously, outside of signing up for Patreon, simply hit the like button. It lets YouTube know that you like this. And I'll quit fucking yelling all the time if we get the likes up enough. This video gets 1,000 likes on it. I will never yell again in my life. And if I do, I just won't happen. Blackberry, the best claw flavor, correct? I don't know, dude. Like, honestly, they all taste the fucking same to me. Every White Claw tastes exactly the same. I'm not a big snob when it comes to the flavors. You know what? Some other ones are starting to move up my book a little bit more and more, though. Like, I like Truly's. I like the blueberry Truly's. Those are kind of fire. And a lot of these seltzer brands are starting to make, like, iced tea, like hard iced teas that are, like, 8% alcohol. And I can get behind that shit. I know you're not a huge fan of ETN this year in Jacksonville, but how high would you be willing to draft him in Dynasty as a future asset? So I've done two startups this year, two startups this offseason. Both just ended a couple weeks ago. I took ETN in one of them. It was like a rebuild team where I was only drafting first and second round players. I took ETN at the 411. So I'm not really sure what that's probably exactly where I'd like to take him. The 411 was kind of perfect. So that's where I would go with him. If you want to say, if you're really high on ETN, I mean, he was a great college prospect, but his year one prospects look fucking miserable. So I think you need to take that into account if you're trying to compete this year. So for ETN, yeah, mid-fourth, if you really like him, end of fourth, I think is the perfect spot to grab him. How do you think about JT this season? JT, I've kind of cooled on JT a little bit, as has most of the industry. I think his ADP was like sixth overall to start the summer, and now it's probably dropped down to like 9 or 10. I'm starting to like, you know, Zeke I like more than JT now, for sure. I think Cam Akers versus JT is a very real conversation as we get higher on Aaron Rodgers coming bike to the Packers. You start to like Aaron Jones more. You know, there's a lot of, I don't think it's necessarily like I don't like JT as much as I did. I still think he's in that Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott when he first came into the league, Adrian Peterson type mold where he could be a top five fantasy running back or number three or number two overall. just purely based off of being a runner, but I start to like these other guys a little bit more because I think they have higher ceilings. In your opinion, Nick, who's a wide receiver one in Jacksonville? I think it's Earl. I think early on it's going to be Marvin Jones Jr., then Chark will take over. I think that's a decent opinion. If it wasn't fucking wrong, Codeine. Nah, honestly, this is probably the hardest question to answer in fantasy football this year, and I try not to even like pretend to know. It's just so difficult. I just really think that there's no reason to be drafting one over the other over the other. If I had to choose one straight up, I would probably take Laviska Shenault. If all else equal and they're like, this is your ninth round pick, you get to choose one out of the three, I'll take Visca, but I just think all of their stats are going to be very, very similar. Can you make a starting defensive player on the Lions? Can you name one? Jeffrey Okuda. Suck it. You think I'll beat Snacks in our UFC style fight over the weekend? Nah, you don't have enough pain behind your eyes, Codeine. I mean, Sexy. I don't think you have the killer instinct in you. And Snacks will literally kill you or fight until you kill him. So I just don't, nah. Who are your top two players you think will win Rookie of the Year quarterbacks? Okay, so obviously Trevor Lawrence is the one, and then we're talking about Fields, Lance, Wilson, Mac. So I'm going to take Mac out of the equation. I really think, I'm not sure what the value are. Let me see. Rookie of the Year odds. I feel like I don't know what the odds are right now before I get to them right now. I want to see them on DraftKings because I don't trust like fucking Vegas Insider or whatever the fuck they do. I feel like Zach Wilson is probably the best value right now. What do we have? All right, so this is per VegasInsider.com, and I don't know if these are accurate, to be honest. Let me see if they actually have it on DraftKings. Super Bowl, nah. Season special. The fact that the Houston Texans are plus 200 to have the worst regular season record, I feel like is easy money. The easiest money I've seen in my lifetime. Okay, here we go. Cool. I got the odds up from FanDuel. Let me throw them up on the Scrizzy. All right, so Trevor Lawrence is plus 270. That's obviously would be my number one choice. Justin Fields is plus 550. Zach Wilson is plus 700. Trey Lance is plus 750. The rest of them are whatever. So you'd have to think that they factor in when they think these guys are going to get on the field. With Trey Lance being arguably the most talented out of the other quarterbacks and on the best team, that has to say to you that they think he has the lowest odds of those top four guys of getting on the field. And everything they said out of San Fran's camp has been about Jimmy G. I just have a hard time believing that you have Trey Lance sit for two straight years because he didn't play last year. I like Zach Wilson at plus 700 a lot. I think because you need for Zach Wilson to be like a rookie of the year candidate, you don't need the Jets to be that good because they were such a fucking fraud franchise. All they need is like a very slight turnaround in order for Zach Wilson to look really good. As long as he doesn't throw like 10 touchdowns and 18 interceptions, if you flip that and you go like 18 and 10, and the Jets end up winning like 7 or 8 games this year, he's going to be in contention for Rookie of the Year for sure. I don't think we're going to see like Justin Herbert type fucking stats this year from rookie quarterbacks. So if I had to put my money down, I'd probably take Lawrence and Trey Lance at plus 750, but I do think Zach Wilson's a really good value there. Because the situation is just so much worse than like Trey Lance. Trey Lance would have to put up monster stats because his team's going to be good regardless, you know? Like, I don't think they'll equate him winning a bunch of games to that, like, him. I think they'll just be like, oh, San Francisco's a really good team. Obviously, he's going to go 5-2 or 5-3 as a starter. Whereas if Zach Wilson comes in and goes 5-2 for the Jets, it's like fucking godsend. Pff, What are some teams you think could take an RB early in next year's draft, round 1-2? Good question. Let me check out the teams. Round 1-2 is pretty early. We very rarely see round 1 running backs go off. Okay, so I could see Buffalo, I could see being a team if they feel like if Zach Moss and Singletary implode again this year and they feel like they're one offensive piece away from it. I could see Buffalo, New York for sure. They have nothing on their roster outside of like Michael Carter as a fourth round pick. I don't think they have anything earlier than that. So the Jets are definitely candidates. Not a lot of other teams, to be honest. Let's see. Houston could do some dumb shit for sure. A lot of the teams that, you know, I thought could go early running backs this year kind of did. So, you know, like Jacksonville obviously took a running back. Atlanta's in the range of outcomes, but like Atlanta just historically doesn't take early round running backs, so I'd be a little bit surprised. Maybe they do. Maybe Arthur Smith going into his second year is like, we need a running back to build around like I did with Derrick Henry. So Atlanta's definitely a sleeper there. Not a sleeper, but a candidate. Tampa Bay, I feel like, is good enough at just piecing running backs together. You know, Tom Brady can make whatever the fuck work in the backfield. Depending on what happens with Josh Jacobs this year, I wouldn't be shocked if the Raiders decided to go with like a second round running back next year. I'd be surprised, but not shocked. Same with the Chargers, maybe a second-round running back to complement Eckler. Arizona is definitely a candidate. That's probably the only teams I could see really doing that. And Miami, of course. No. Who do you think will start first, Fields or Lance? Probably Fields. Any good last place punishment ideas this year? Someone brought up a great, since we hit 50,000 subscribers the other day, I was trying to do something to like celebrate, you know, did anyone have any like challenges that we could do? Because when we hit 10K, me and Steve did the 10,000 calorie challenge. And someone was like, do the Waffle House challenge where you have to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours and every waffle you eat minuses an hour off of it, but replace that with Margs. And I was like, that's a pretty good fucking, that's a pretty good challenge. Except it would kill me, because depending on, listen, like the range of outcomes for how bad that can go. Like, listen, you go to a place that serves just like one shot of tequila in the margarita versus two is the difference between being like nicely buzzed for 12 hours and absolutely blacked out, taking a shit on the floor. You know what I mean? So I love that. Any good last place punishments ideas this year? I don't know. Maybe we'll discuss it on the E-Town. Oh, we have to have our league meeting, so we'll discuss it on there. You know, you could always go with waterboarding. Waterboarding is always a great choice. Weeks ago, you'd rather shove a needle in your dick. Did I say that? I gotta watch what I say. Weeks ago, you'd rather shove a needle in your dick than draft AJ Green. The other day, he low-key snuck into your video. What's changed? Honestly, nothing. Honestly, nothing other than like they really just don't have a wide receiver two in Arizona. And I feel like you don't sign AJ Green unless you're ready to like shove him into the offense. You know, like I mean, maybe they're just like, oh, we have a bunch of young wide receivers, but maybe AJ Green really wasn't as bad. I mean, you just look at the numbers last year, and AJ Green, yes, was terrible on like a personal level, but also all of Joe Burrow's throws to AJ Green were pretty much uncatchable. So there wasn't much either of them could do. They both stunk last year when it came to each other. I don't know. So there's just, this is another like gut feeling that just changed overnight. Maybe it's just one day I took too many drugs and they were just like, this is the AJ Green drug. We got you, Nick. We finally got you. Your bike on board. I can't give you a good logical answer for that. I'm sorry. When should my leagues do draft order the actual draft? One, it depends if you trade picks. Two, if you don't trade picks, like we do our draft order, I think a week before the actual draft, so you can start mocking. Like, I think it's good to have a little bit of time to be able to mock draft before you actually do your draft, so you know your order. The actual draft is close to the regular season kickoff as possible. I definitely would suggest having no preseason games left over just for freak injuries and practices still being done. We always do ours Labor Day Monday, which is like 3 days before the actual NFL kickoff. So Labor Day Monday is usually a good one because everybody's free as well. But that week leading up to kickoff, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is usually perfect. draft order, you know, a week so you can do some mocks. You're way behind. I feel violated and assaulted already. Pretty sure C.J. Spiller's brother is in this year's 2022 class. I think he goes to A&M. Yes, Isaiah Spiller. He is a very, very well-known, hyped-up prospect. A lot of people have him as their RB1 already. I have Breece Hall for sure still as my RB1 over Isaiah Spiller, but I think both of them will push for that spot. Josh Jacobs off your board or what? He's been someone I've been going back and forth on. He's going to be probably in my video that I'm going to make soon called the Fade Has Gone Too Far, where everybody's fading guys like based off last season, but I think it's just, you know, Josh Jacobs, the Tyler Lockett, guys like that. So he's not off my board, but at his current ADP, he might be. All right, y'all, we're 40 minutes in. Looks like we're out of questions, out of the assault. Thank you for not beating me up too bad. That's going to be it for this week. Thank you for hanging with me on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday. It is hot as a motherfucker in the city right now. I'm going to go catch some sun, get some fucking tan. You know what? However much I tan, I just can't get tan. It just doesn't fucking work. I keep getting burnt, and then it doesn't turn into tan. Like, my chest never gets tan. What do I do? What do I do? Do I just take the L and just get absolutely burnt to a crisp and let that turn to tan? It's got to be a safer way, right? I just don't know. But thank you all for hanging out with me. Obviously, if you want to be in next week's Q and Assault, patreon.com/BDGE. Make sure you go download the Underdog app. It'll be linked in the description as well as the comment section. Anything else I named, the 4 for 4 pages, I'll make sure I do that right now so I don't forget, where you can check biggest ADP movers as well as ADP across different websites. I love y'all. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Hit the thumbs up if you didn't already, you fucking fraud farcicles. And I'll see you tomorrow. Since Why You Yelling is going bi-weekly, bisexually weekly, I'm probably going to be doing a mock draft Sundays and Mondays now to ramp up. We'll probably do a weird, obscure mock draft on Sundays and then keep our regular 12-team Underdog best ball mock draft for Monday. So if you have any weird league settings that you would like me to see or like to see me do, put that in the comment section. I love y'all. I'm out. Bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.